Welcome to Stripped. This is episode 2 of season 3. I'm Emma Francois, and I'm joined here by
Isabel
Ward. And today we're going to look at Nike's new Dream Crazy campaign with Colin Kaepernick through a fashion lens. And to help us do this, we have two special guests. If you would like to introduce yourselves.
My name is Liz Pankova. I'm the Voices editor in The Voice.
And my name is Sandul Narkar, and I'm the halftime sports editor for The Voice.
So before we dive in, we wanted to give a little background. So Colin Kaepernick has attracted controversy ever since he made his decision to bring attention to police brutality 2 seasons ago when, as the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, he began taking a knee during the national anthem, which is according to Washington Post, an action that's since drawn the attention and tweets of many people, including the president. Nike recently released their Dream Crazy campaign with Kaepernick in celebration of 30 years of the famous Nike slogan, Just Do It. If you haven't seen the ad already, it reads, "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything." The video accompaniment directs its audience to not ask if your dreams are crazy, but rather if they're crazy enough. So the powerful and moving narration spoken by Kaepernick is overlaid with images and video clips from historic and inspirational athletes and people, the crazy dreamers.
Yeah, so obviously this has drawn a lot of controversy, kind of drawing attention to the line between activism, politics, sports, and advertising, and obviously as well Nike's own brand of ethics and social responsibilities. Right now, despite all of that controversy, the partnership seems good for business. As the Washington Post reported, the business experienced a 31% increase in sales. And so we're kind of wondering, is this all for business? Where does this fall?
So to start, Liz, do you want to give us kind of your general take on this?
Yeah. So I think for me, like, as soon as I saw this campaign on Twitter and as soon as I saw the social media hype around it, the biggest quote-unquote like controversy was that there were conservative people that were really against it and like burning their Nike shoes. And then on the other side of the spectrum were people saying like, wow, like, you know, if you want to get rid of your Nike shoes, give them to me, or like, Nike's so amazing, I can't believe they went there, you know, stuff like that. And my reaction to that was a little bit of a negative one because I kind of felt like, you know, Nike is a company and at the end of the day, whatever their messaging is, it's all with the purpose of selling us shoes and apparel and, you know, all the stuff that they produce. So my stance is kind of skeptical, to summarize it in one word. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with Liz. I would say I am like I treated it with a healthy dose of skepticism. I'm not against the message from Nike, and like in a nutshell, like in a vacuum, I don't think the message is bad. And I think the fact that they're standing with Kaepernick and then that Kaepernick got some money out of this, because if you remember, like, you know, he's been out of a job for several years now and he's donated a lot of money to charitable causes. So, you know, for what he's done for, I think, public and political awareness in the United States, I think, you know, he should be compensated for that. And he's been shut out of the NFL. But at the same time, like, you know, Nike's always going to be fine. And when I say always, I mean, of course, at some point, it's possible that they might go under. but they, yes, but you know, they have such a dominant presence in like American life that I don't think that like, you know, like yeah, they could have approached this perhaps like from a very like good like charitable like social viewpoint. Like, look, we want to like, you know, raise awareness of police brutality. We want to do all these things. But I think it's like interwoven with just the complexity of Nike and like America, and that Nike has undoubtedly launched the careers of many talented athletes who would not have had the exposure that they got and the wealth they got without Nike. Look at Michael Jordan, like, you know, one of the greatest, like, I mean, the greatest basketball player of all time. I know that's becoming controversial. but, like, so they've done, like, a lot. Like, Michael Jordan, obviously, he cultivated that through his own talent. But they, obviously, they gave a platform to the most successful black athlete and one of the most successful black businessmen of all time. But the controversy or the conflict there is that they still, like, have the workers in your slave labor conditions sell shoes for, like, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And I can't say that until now they've had much corporate social responsibility. So it's complicated for me, I'd say, definitely.
Yeah, just to interject. So when you said that you supported the message kind of this ad, what to you is the message?
I mean, for me, the message is, like, stand for something, even if it means you give up a lot, right? And, you know, throughout sports in the United States, that has been something athletes have done. Muhammad Ali did that. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf did that when he sat down for the national anthem and was blackballed by the NBA. Mm-hmm. I mean, Colin Kaepernick has done that. So, like, Jackie Robinson did that. Like, it's a consistent theme throughout the United States and throughout American sports culture that athletes take stands, they give up a lot, they sacrifice, and a lot of times they're forgotten. So I completely am on board with that message, that it takes a few people, like, against the tide to make a real difference. But I obviously am skeptical of the source. That's basically what I would say.
Yeah, I think I want to add to that, just for me also, I think the message was, you know, the message is the good part of this whole ad. You know, it's the reason that people are standing behind it, the reason that, you know, people are viewing Nike in a positive light. But I think also what struck me when I watched the actual ad, like the video, was that Kaepernick doesn't even come up until the very end, and he doesn't even... Like, he just is standing in New York City in Times Square.
Well, he's narrating it, though.
Well, he's narrating, I know, but he never, like, the theme of Kaepernick kneeling or why he's kneeling or just, like, going more in depth about the cause that Kaepernick was supporting in losing everything is completely left unopened, and he's just standing in Times Square. You know, if someone who had never heard about the actual controversy and just knew him as a controversial figure, they would just see it and be like, oh, this is an inspirational figure being like, yes, you can do it. But I think it's significant that they didn't actually, you know, Nike themselves didn't bring any attention whatsoever to the, like, issue that Kaepernick was fighting for.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, and I think it speaks to one of the frustrations I've had about the whole Kaepernick NFL kneeling for the flag thing, which is that it's been beaten into us so much that he is kneeling for the flag. He's kneeling for the flag. He's kneeling for the flag, that the specific issue he was addressing is not even brought up in, like, I guess in circles that are sympathetic to him. I mean, I've talked to people who are like, you know, I'm like, oh, so, like, you know, they're for Kaepernick, right? And I'm like, okay, you know, why is he kneeling? They're like, oh, you know, he's kneeling because, you know, injustices and, you know, African-Americans are treated, you know, unequally. I'm like, yeah, that's true. But, like, what's the specific issue that he's kneeling for? And they're like, yeah, I don't know. And it's police brutality. Now, you know, much like Black Lives Matter started out with police brutality and has spanned to another number of issues, I don't think Kaepernick has just focused solely on police brutality, but that was the reason he started kneeling. And yeah, like, I guess it's perhaps beyond the pale to expect Nike to have a video with, like, I don't know, showing images of police violence and then saying, like, you know, believe in a cause. I mean, I guess, like, you know, that would not have boosted their profits probably, but yikes. But yeah, like, I guess, like, you're kind of left wondering, like, yeah, this, if I didn't know about Kaepernick, I would just be like, yeah, this is really uplifting. There's a person without legs who's wrestling. That's really cool. And they win. But, like, and there's a kid on a skateboard who keeps falling off the rails over and over again and finally gets it. That's uplifting. But, like, that's different from like the visceral image of being shot by a cop or beat up by a cop and left to die and not being compensated by the judicial system. So that's, I guess that's not marketable, but that's what the message is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, and off of that, you know, when I watched the ad as part of my modern art history class, the teacher started the class with it and then had us analyze it. But when I was watching it, I didn't know Kaepernick's face. I didn't know what he looked like. And so I was like, who is this guy standing alone in the middle of New York? Like, what am I seeing right now? And at the end, she told us, and I had seen some videos, so I kind of assumed that's what I was watching, but I didn't know who he was. And so it's kind of a testament to, you know, the fact that Nike is banking off of media and media response, and that's how people are going to know, and that's how the video is going to get watched and everything like that, is by the people in the know, and, you know, by the people who are probably going to buy their shoes. So... yeah, you know, kind of then off of this, what do you guys think the cultural significance of this is, of this ad?
Well, I think it's kind of, you know, I guess the significance for me, another reason why I find this ad to be so frustrating is that it creates this big moment, this big, you know, not only social media moment, but this moment just in cultural history, I guess, where people are talking about this, and, you know, it's a big hot topic, and it gives, I'm sure that this backlash from, you know, some extreme members of the conservative community is actually what makes people who support Nike in this instance, like, feel more self-righteous, you know? So, like, the backlash is actually a good thing, I think, for Nike rather than a bad thing, because their target audience is like the, you know, cosmopolitan liberal. And I think it gives people the sense that, like, oh, if I buy a $100 pair of Nike shoes, I'm being a social activist. Like, I'm participating in some kind of social movement, social activity, whatever, that's meaningful and that has an impact. And when you really think about it, I mean, that's not the case. Nike isn't a social justice organization, and they by no means are at the forefront of any kind of social change in this country. You know, they're not concerned with that. They're concerned with the profits that they're getting, and they're getting them.
Can you elaborate on that? Because, I mean, I know, you know, where you're going, but in, you know, Nike has had a history that, maybe a not-so-recent history, I think mostly in 95, they ran an ad promoting women's inclusion in sports and featuring an HIV-positive runner. And so, it's, you know, it's not their first time in politics, but, yeah, can you elaborate on your point?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of companies have a history of, you know, co-opting social movements because it is profitable. You know, people like the world to change for the better a lot of times. And I think a big part of that is that they co-opt them once they've already taken off, you know, like they're not really doing it when it's not popular. You know, Nike, they've had a contract with Kaepernick, but they would have never released this ad, you know, immediately after his controversy happened, because no one would buy it. No one would kind of appreciate that. And I think only like once a certain amount of time passes, I mean, I don't know what that amount of time is, but I'm sure there's some kind of formula we could deduce from this that, you know, social movements, they need actual grassroots organizing. They need people who are really, you know, passionate about the actual change happening. And then they can, you know, the easy part is for corporations to be like, okay, now we're going to co-opt this and now we're going to use this to sell things to you.
Yeah. I think to Kaepernick's credit, he has been involved with that. Right.
Yeah.
So I think like the way I'm able to square this in my mind is that like, you know, Kaepernick is getting the exposure he deserves from this. He like has brought attention to an issue that would not have gotten the attention without him kneeling for the anthem, which is like the exact point of a protest, is like to, you know, in some way, like come up in front of this powerful image, which in this case is the national anthem, the flag, and be like, yeah, I am making a gesture in front of this symbol to bring attention to my movement. And he succeeded massively with that. And, you know, if Nike continue, like, you know, Nike has brought attention to that further, which I think in the end is good. Now, like, I totally agree with Liz that, like, if somebody's, like, buying Nikes and they think that they're, like, more of, like, a social activist for that, like, I think that's laughable, honestly. But, like, and, like, I don't personally know any people who have been like, yeah, let's go out buy Nikes because we're supporting, like, you know, ending police brutality. That just, like, that, yeah, it just seems wrong. But I think at the end of the day, like, you know, Nike has done a good thing here. One funny point one thing I think that's funny is that the reason Kaepernick, or a common justification for Kaepernick not getting a position in the NFL, has been, oh, he's bad for business. No, like, people are not going to want to show up. Like, people are not going to want to buy jerseys. But, like, his jersey is, like, one of the most bought right now. And as you see from this Nike campaign, like, it's massively increased their revenue. So I think it's just, it's funny for, like, all the NFL owners who are like, it's just bad for business that, like, this happened. And Nike's made a lot of money off of it. So I don't know. But, yeah. Nike overall, probably not so good. As we say in sports, nothing is good. But, you know, I think they did a good thing here, even though the struggle was definitely not on their backs. Like Liz said, they cashed in at the right moment.
Okay, so you said that, you know, how your kind of happy for Kaepernick, right, because of this,
yeah,
because he hasn't been signed and everything like that. But at the same time, do you feel like he could have done this? You know, I know he has had maintained a relationship with Nike, but do you think he could have done this with any other corporation, you know, say one that doesn't use slave labor? Generated kind of the same...
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess, like, the number of corporations you could choose from starts to narrow. Like, I don't know. I can't imagine Kaepernick really doing, like, a campaign with Patagonia. Like, it doesn't really work. Like, it doesn't work with the NFL's target demographic exactly. I mean, I don't know, like, a list of, like, you know, like responsible corporations, like, off the top of my head. So
does it affect your perception of him at all?
I mean, like, a little bit, but, like, again, like, you know, like, a lot of us wear Nikes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I wear Nikes. I'm not happy, obviously, about their treatment of workers near slave labor conditions. But I think that's just, like, kind of, like, a contradiction and, like, a hypocrisy we all live with. And I think if Colin Kaepernick is, like, the latest to benefit off of that, it doesn't really change my impression of him, mostly because I think his message still is what it is.
Right.
Does it change your view of Nike at all?
Not really, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, I think they did a good thing here, but, like, quite frankly, if this had never come up, like, you know, like, I don't know, like, it's not like the you know, it's not like they had this opportunity, said no. Like, I guess what I'm saying is that, like, Nike has done some objectively, like, shitty things, like, really bad things, and this is a good thing they've done. And, like, you know, I'm not about to, like, you know, being, like, to weigh, like, the positives or the negatives and be like, okay, Nike gets, like, a overall utilitarian score of, like, 35 for this or something. Or, you know, they're good now in my books. Like, I don't think it's really possible to do that from an ethical standpoint. I think they're doing what a corporation like Nike always does, which is, like, try and, you know, maximize their profits, seize the cultural moment. And more interestingly, I think, for all of us, this is a sign that I think the cultural tide has shifted, like, completely. The fact that, you know, conservatives can post a bunch of videos of them like cutting up their Nike socks and burning their shoes. And this doesn't do a thing to Nike's revenue. It speaks a lot.
Right. And just to take a small sidetrack, you raise a good point, and it makes me kind of think more about how, you know, especially when you're talking about Kaepernick, you know, not pairing with Patagonia, how there aren't that many ethical providers of sportswear. And it's very real that Nike is kind of has a monopoly, arguably is, you know, it fills a gap that not many other businesses could fill. So many people depend on Nike for their sportswear, like Georgetown. And mm-hmm. You wrote a feature on that.
Yeah. So a long time ago, I co-wrote a feature about Georgetown's relationship with Nike. And at the time, Georgetown had allowed Nike to violate its code of conduct by not allowing the Workers' Right Consortium, which was set up in the 90s, to basically to oversee like labor concerns partner apparel companies for a number of different schools. And Nike had violated Georgetown's code of conduct. They weren't allowing the WRC to go into their factories. And this was, you know, a big issue. And it's like, you know, why, you know, if any other company had violated Georgetown's code of conduct, then they would have been kicked off, right? But Nike is allowed to do this, and they stay on. So, and then, like, I guess the point of the feature is basically, like, look, Nike gave Georgetown this platform it didn't have before. When in the 80s, you know, John Thompson Sr. wore Nikes. Georgetown got its relationship with Nike. Coach Patrick Ewing now put Georgetown on the map. Basically, with his performance, and you know, on the team, and you know, winning an NCAA title, so there's that history there, which I think granted Nike this perhaps definitely undue influence at Georgetown, and I think that's a microcosm of Nike's role on every campus that partners with them, and like you could like take away Nike, make it Adidas, it's the same exact thing, I'm pretty sure, like it's in like the Georgetown like jersey, the Georgetown like shoes, like those are icons, and you like the value of that to an institution is like it's astronomical. So I think that was like one of the biggest takeaways of writing that for us. Yeah.
And Liz, you know, you tweeted about Nike's relation to sweatshops and now Nike's relation to Kaepernick. Is there anything you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, when I think for me, it was just an interesting parallel to draw that, you know, right now, Nike, all the protests that are going on, like, everyone who's protesting Nike is protesting them because they, like, don't think Kaepernick deserves a platform, which is just, you know, it's such a ridiculous thing to protest, and it just reminded me of a year ago, basically, this time when The Voice and, you know, every other campus outlet and non-campus outlet was covering, like, Georgetown protests of Nike, and the protests were against, like, sweatshop labor. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was really interesting that, you know, I'm sure that, obviously, I'm sure that Nike didn't think about it this way. They weren't like, well, we could either be protested for slave labor or for putting Kaepernick in our ads, but it kind of works out that way that like they're being protested for something that's clearly ridiculous rather than the very real, like horrible things that they do to their employees.
Yeah. And you know, there's been, like you said, a lot of backlash concerning this relatively, I don't want to say small, but you know, this different issue. It's yeah. not as, you know,
viral right now. Viral. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, there have been, I think I read that there was a Louisiana mayor who, once the ad was released, has banned Nike from all of his booster team things. And so with, you know, people burning their socks and their shoes and stuff like that, you know, how do you guys feel knowing that this has generated such a reaction as opposed to the sweatshops that we've, you know, been trying to address with them for years?
Well, I mean, I think it just speaks to, like, I don't know, the craziness of, I don't want to say Americans, but just like the fact that, like, you know, we ignore, like you said, sweatshop labor for years, And God forbid somebody kneels for an anthem and becomes, like, as, like, reviled as anybody in, like, recent political history. Like, you mentioned Kaepernick within a certain, like, population in the United States. And, like, the response is just, like, bam, like, just anger. And I think that's very powerful. And I think what Nike knows about that is that they know that there's an equal number or greater number of people who are staunchly opposed to that first group of really angry people. And they know that if they make this message taking the side of Kaepernick, people like, you know, us who are pro Kaepernick, but not necessarily, like, not pro Nike, we'll be on Kaepernick's side and thus be on Nike's side, kind of. And we won't emphasize the conversation about Nike being really evil in, like, if we're talking about Kaepernick, because we don't want to, like, associate with the anti-Kaepernick side at all. So there's just, it creates this dichotomy, I think, when in fact, like, the situation is a lot more complex.
Yeah, so. I think it makes it definitely, I mean, that was a great explanation of it. It creates this, like, association between Nike and social justice that is kind of hard to argue against. You know, it's kind of when people say, like, I think of free speech as a similar thing. Like, when people say, like, oh, well, are you against free speech? And, like, you're not going to be like, no, I hate free speech. Like, you know, it's kind of this cop-out, I don't know. And I think the one thing I'll say is that in this whole situation, it just really highlights how Nike has the power in this whole situation. Like, Nike is in control. Like, they basically own, like, Kaepernick's image now. Like, they've kind of appropriated it for their own means. And obviously they, in some sense, own their workers. And now, like, they kind of own our attention. And it's really, like, up to them what they're going to do next. So, like, and because they're not a social justice organization, because they're not, like, their primary goal isn't advancing some kind of social change, like, they're not going to stick to this. Like, as soon as Kaepernick stops being profitable, as soon as, you know, woke capitalism, whatever, stops being profitable, they're going to toss it to the side and move on to whatever's next. So I think that's the biggest problem with this, is that the power's in their hands and they're not, like, here to help us.
Yeah, that reminds me of this piece that I read in New York Magazine about the ad, and it concluded with the author raising the point that, you know, or arguing that Nike doesn't care about Kaepernick and it doesn't care about Kaepernick's policies. You know, it's just being aware of the fact that, you know, in today's consumerism, we respect kind of, or we're thirsting for almost these politically charged businesses, and that's something the NFL is blind to, it seems, right now. And, you know, this whole thing is just Nike being Nike. But to return to kind of our earlier, broader question, where do you guys think the line between business and politics should be drawn?
Ooh, that's really tough. I guess the line is never drawn in private, I guess. Like, you know, Nike makes donations to, like, various political organizations and, like, PACs or whatever. So, like,
and
you know,
politicians market themselves as if they were companies,
right.
Basically.
Right. So. Yeah. So, like, you know, that's always there. And, you know, I don't want to say that always will be there, but, like, I don't see it going away, like, in the foreseeable future. I mean, in terms of, like, you know, the line between business and politics and, you know, sports and politics, like, you know, like, this is something I've thought about a lot. And I think that it doesn't bother me, like, if, you know, some company comes out and, like, you know, says they're, like, you know, pro gay marriage, or, you know, they're very, like, you know, they're trying to raise awareness about police brutality or, like, other pressing social issues. But, like, I do, like, also, like, kind of respect, like, you know, the desire of people who are, you know, not politically, like, share my political views, who just, like, you know, want to sit down and, like, watch, like, I don't know, like, a game on, like, on Sunday, or who, like, they just, like, want to go, like, clothes shopping. Like, you know, as I say that, like, I'm, like, asking myself, like, do I actually believe that? Do I actually care about them? And, like, you know, I don't care about that in the sense that I really do not agree with them. And I think that, you know, they should in a way just get with the times. But if, you know, if the tables were turned and, like, I don't know, Nike was very, like, against Kaepernick or something, and, like, they promoted some really deplorable figure, then, like, I would feel pretty bad. So I don't know. Like, I would say, like, I'm fine with the way things are right now, but, like, that's almost entirely informed by my own political opinions. So there's not really, that's not really an answer, but yeah.
I was going to say that just talking about fashion businesses, like I would say Nike is an example of, when they do take a stance, I think it's really interesting, but it needs to go through, like it needs to be consistent. So it frustrates me when I see, you know, like different fashion merchandising brands doing campaigns like this when they're not looking at how their clothes are produced, like what materials they're using, how they're treating their workers. It's kind of a half-baked idea. But what were you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think pretty similarly, like I think there is a way for, you know, and that's, it's also very popular today, this business model of like socially good business. You know, a lot of fashion companies try to market themselves as like green or some, you know, doing or like produced by, you know,
produced in
by women in like a patriarchal country, whatever, and like that's great, you know. I mean, I think there is a way for corporations to be, you know, I hesitate to say this, but to be like ethical, you know, if the profits are going to the workers, if the profits are going to the people that, you know, need them, then yeah, that's, I think that that can benefit certain, you know, underprivileged communities, whatever. But when, you know, Nike markets themselves as a social justice organization, or when like BP has like a sustainability campaign, I mean, that's just like laughable. And I think that's, yeah, that's where the line should be drawn.
Or like just pay like your workers like a living wage.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, that would also be cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, is there anything that anyone wants to add before we wrap up?
No, I think this has been a really good conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always down to just talk about Kaepernick whenever. So.
Yeah. Ironically, we didn't discuss a lot of Kaepernick's efforts.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, guys. As always, follow us on Twitter at GTown Voice and at HalftimeGU. You can find us on GeorgetownVoice.com and iTunes. Subscribe to The Voice Podcast Network. And thank you to Bensound for the music. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.